Welcome to the Parenting is Hard Work podcast. I'm Dr. Scott Taransky here with Elena Svetzlat from the Netherlands, and we're going to jump into a powerful concept today. I've got to say that I think this has got to be the most powerful of our, of all the insights I've had in parenting, understanding the equipment that God has placed within a child has led me to more solutions and conclusions and has been more powerful than anything I've done. So what we're going to share with you today is going to open up new doors for parenting insights that tie in with the way God designed a person. And I think you'll find it strategic. So Elena, thanks for joining with me to discuss this subject today.
Yeah, I think it's such a nice way to end your book, the one that we're at the moment looking and reading through and talking about during our podcast, and that is how a heart-based approach to parenting changes everything. I really think talking about conscience, which is what we're going to do today, can be sometimes a bit misunderstood or maybe not understood enough, or maybe parents don't know about it enough of what it is and what it's done. And in your book, you make this part of the last chapter, chapter 13, and you call it the conscious God equipment inside your child. So, Dr. Scott, we all know about the conscious and we kind of know what it is, but what do you, after many years of research and experience, what can you, how can you describe it?
Well, I think that the best insight is something that comes from the Bible. So really the understanding of the conscience was developed in a study that we did on the conscience in the Bible. The word's used 30 times in the New Testament. And we identify out of those 30 times, and of course the Bible, the idea of the conscience is discussed throughout the Bible, but the word itself is used 30 times in the New Testament. Out of that, we identify four ways, four promptings that the conscience gives to a person. The conscience is inside the heart, according to Hebrews 9 and 11. It's because the heart is this kind of inner processing place. And what we want to do is we want to provide this activation of the conscience because it provides internal motivation. So the heart, the Bible says, can go all kinds of different ways. It's desperately wicked. It can lead people astray. We don't say to kids, follow your heart. Mm. It's not a good idea. Rather, because the heart can get us into trouble. Mm. However, God has placed two things inside of the heart to keep it going in the right direction. One is the conscience. The other is the Holy Spirit for people who have trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we're going to zero in on this conscience piece because it's in the heart of every person. Mm. It is basic equipment. It needs to be activated. And when parents activate the conscience, powerful things happen. So we're going to move in some ways here with the conscience that will empower parents with language, with activities, with discussions with their kids that will retrain them and help them to be more internally motivated.
So, you do say in the book indeed that the conscience is connected to the heart, and it does look for a standard of values and convictions that it does make God's word strategic in involvement, because we do believe that God has created us all different. And it actually reveals, or it helps us reveal and distinguish between the wrong and the right, and give us that kind of a responsibility. How do you could say it's called in inside our hearts? And Dr. Scott, how do you think that the conscious that is inside the child can help us as parents change the way we parent?
Well, okay, so I work with parents of children of all ages. Last year, I worked with a family of a 23-year-old boy. And at the end of our time, our 8 weeks together, the mom said, this conscience material is what really changed the way we work with our son. We believe he's becoming more responsible now because the way we've interacted with him and things we've required of him and the way we talk to him has helped him to be more internally motivated. So the conscience has four different parts, four different problems. One is do what's right. That's the responsibility piece. Deal with wrongs, that's the guilt issue, and dealing with offenses, because children often don't take responsibility for themselves. That they need to know how to do that. Third one is being honest. And the fourth one is caring about others. And if you just look at your own conscience, and your own life, you'll see that all four of these things play out in your own life. And you realize, oh yeah, I'm more responsible. I know when I need to get gas in the car or turn off the heat because it's wasting energy, or I need to deal with the mistakes I've made. All of these things are very important for our children to be able to grasp. The third one, just being honest. You know, if you say something and someone's perceiving it wrong, you go, oh, wait a minute, I didn't say that right. It's your conscience that prompts you to make it right, because you don't want to be perceived as being dishonest. Mm. So there's this prompting that comes from the conscience. And then, of course, when compassion, when you see someone who's hurting or something, you want to do something about it. That's the conscience. This is all internal motivation that we're trying to help our people with, our children with. So if we can do this conscience activation, it just brings about some really great stuff for them.
Yeah. And how can we actually see if our children are already working a bit on the basis of a strong conscience already?
Yeah, that's good, because often one piece of the conscience is already stronger than another, and we use that. So a child who is very compassionate and caring and thoughtful, we can say, you know, doesn't it feel good to help people out? There's something going on inside of you that's motivating you internally to be thoughtful about that animal that's hurt, or to go and help the baby who's crying. You've got something inside, and that is a conscience is prompting you in a very powerful way inside. What we want to do is help you move that to another part of the conscience, which is being responsible to complete tasks and get them done. And I'm going to show you what that looks like, because when you report back after you do a task, and I say to you, good job, you're free to go, you're going to feel the same good feeling that you felt when you do kind things to other people. So this sense of recognizing that a child does have a conscience and often is exhibiting some strengths in that area is very helpful as we're trying to do this recognition, this more sensitivity to this kind of internal prompting that children have inside of their hearts.
Yeah, and how do we deal with a child who, this is a bit of an extra question to what you just explained, but in my situation, for example, as an example, my son has an extra strong conscience, and he believes, or sometimes he has he thinks he's done the wrong thing, and he really is so upset on himself, and he's so exaggeratedly upset on himself and how he deals with his own fault. How do we deal with that if we have children who have that, for example?
Yeah, good question, because what you're telling me is that we have a child here who needs conscience training. In other words, what may be happening is, and this happens commonly in children, is there's a pseudo response of the conscience called shame that is damaging in a child's life and needs some retraining here. So what we're doing is we're helping children grow in this area of the conscience so they can process mistakes and offenses and inadequacies, you know, weaknesses in a way that is more healthy. It's more healthy, more godly, more responsible. And so in an area where a child, what you're saying is he has a sensitive conscience. I would say that, yes, he has a sensitive conscience to his own weaknesses, but he's still not processing them well and needs some training in how to do that. And, you know, what do you do when you make a mistake? How do you handle that? Well, God has a prescription for that. And we do confess. We admit that we're sinners. Instead of trying to cover it up, blame the problem on other people, we say, yes, I made a mistake. I can learn from that. That just that simple statement, children can start saying to themselves, I made a mistake. I can learn from that. Or I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Or in these ways that it's not just saying I'm sorry. It's although I'm sorry isn't bad. I'm just saying that there's this way of processing the offenses we have in life that are really good. You make one mistake on a spelling test and you beat yourself up because you didn't get 100. Well, that's a misrepresentation of what is healthy when it comes to handling offenses. So we teach children how to do that. It's going to be part of the therapy that we work on with children to help them to grow in conscience development.
Yeah, that's extremely nice way to train our children in how to think about their mistakes, and also how to deal with that in a healthy way and in a godly way. And Dr. Scott, if we notice that we have children which are maybe too sensitive in some areas that and then that needs training. What if we have, or how do we know if we have children whose conscience is really you call it dull, or maybe not trained enough? How do we notice that, and how do we re-energize that part of their conscience?
For the most part, it's going to come through vocabulary changes that we have and practice exercises that we put in line with children. It's also going to involve some teaching that we do and some visioning that's going to help things work out well. So we are, it's a multifaceted approach. But let me give you some wording that often is helpful for parents. Mm-hmm. For example, when you're giving instructions to children, as we've said in past podcasts, you use the words "you need to" instead of "I need you to." Mm-hmm. Many parents are caught in this, "I need you to." And when they do that, then they're not focusing on the child and what the child needs to do. So we're emulating the conscience when we say to a child, "you need to," mm-hmm. because that's the message the conscience is communicating. And we want the conscience to be strong. So when a parent says, you need to continually, mm-hmm. then the child's learning to pick up that, and it's activating the actual wording of the conscience. When a child is doing the wrong thing or the right thing, then we use words like right and wrong with children. Mm-hmm. That vocabulary is going to be significant for conscience development, because children are, they're growing in this sense. And they have this conscience. We're just making them more sensitive to this internal piece that they need to be aware of. When we come to helping children deal with offenses, mm-hmm. we are very careful what questions we ask. We don't say, "Why did you do that?" Because it invites defensiveness on the part mm-hmm. of the child. We don't want that. You don't ask children, "Tell me what happened here," or something like that, usually. I mean, we might need some information. But if that's all we're doing, then what's happening is the questions we ask can build defensiveness in children, or it can help them process things properly. The right kind of question is a question that comes from the Bible. What did you do wrong? Mm. Let's just start with that question. And if the child doesn't want to answer the question, maybe they need to take a break a little bit and think about it, because we're not going to go forward here until you're willing to admit that what you did was wrong. You can't hit your brother like that. Mm. "Well, he did da-da-da-da-da." Okay, well, we'll talk about what he did in a moment. But what did you do wrong? Mm. "I hit him." That's right. Okay, well, let's talk about what he did wrong and how you can handle that differently next time. So what we're doing here is using language that helps children. We can use scripture, too. I mean, there's so many passages that talk about the conscience. I designed a program called Hero Training Camp at Home, because heroes are characterized by the same four things that the conscience produces. Heroes, they do what's right, they deal with wrongs, they're honest, and they care about others. So Hero Training Camp at Home has all of these posters you can put on the wall, and Bible verses you can learn, and I call them hero words that heroes say. And there's eight different heroes in this program, and these each one of the eight heroes represent very concise dimensions of what it means to be a hero, which is, of course, developing the conscience in a child. So it's a great way mm-hmm. to bring this about and help parents to know how to activate the conscience in practical terms. So that's just wording. Then we go to activities, then we do go to visioning. All those kinds of things are important.
Yeah, really, really good way to indeed get us on, also to change the way we are, because in the process of helping our children with their own conscious formation, it's what also works within us as parents, and we need to make changes in the way we use our words and how we're asking questions, which is so instrumental in this. Dr. Scott, if you think about the future, what is, for example, a big difference if you look at your experience in the children that you see that you've trained with the conscious in mind, with the idea of a conscious in mind, as opposed to just the behavior changing training that it's so popular?
Yeah, I hear stories about this all the time. Parents are telling me, I could not believe my child would do this, but now he sees what needs to be done and does it without being asked. I never would have thought that would be possible with my son, who's so self-focused and whatever. But what we've done see is we've done so much training that the child is now sensitive when he gets a prompting from the conscience that the trash is there and his job to take it out, he can take it out without being asked, or to leave a room and to turn around and look, because we train children with the cues and the conscience provides then the guidance to follow instructions and or to self-instruct a child. So that we're developing self-discipline and self-instruction. And so children, you know, as young as 3 years old can make significant changes in the patterns they operate in. So one is my child does things now on his own without being asked. He looks for ways to contribute around the home. That's the fourth part of the conscience. My child's much more willing to admit when he did something wrong now than he was before. All of these comments that parents make are exact references to the work of the conscience, and they realize this is so powerful. I'm going to use this some more. I'm going to do this more in my child's life. It just changes the whole way we work. There's several things that now I've wrapped around this concept. Yes, there's a chapter in this book that we're talking about now called How a Heart-Based Approach to Parenting Changes Everything, about the conscience. A great book to read. It shows how to use a heart-based approach in a lot of different ways. That book is strategic. But I wrote a whole book about the conscience called Motivate Your Child. The subtitle of the book is something like How to, a Christian Parent's Guide to Helping Children Do What They Need to Do Without Being Asked. That's Motivate Your Child. Then the Hero Training Camp is a whole children's program. Then I wrote a video. There's a video course about this where parents can get trained called Everyday Parents Can Raise Extraordinary Kids. So this is a whole, it's been so insightful for me and so powerful that I continue to develop resources about this that parents can use, and it just changes the way they work with their kids. So good stuff.
Good stuff. We're going to work on. And it does sound so promising. And I think indeed that's the dream of every parent, that their child is making the right choice, the right choices, especially when they are not around to guide them and to support them. Yeah, Dr. Scott, we've spoken a lot about conscience. We've spoken about how to strengthen the conscience, how to train the conscience, how to awaken the conscience. We're coming now towards the end of our podcast. I think it's important to talk with our children about conscience and how that what a role that plays in our lives and in how we we can hear God's voice. Or sometimes children are asking, how do I know when I hear God's voice? Or I think the conscience is a way in which God can together with the Holy Spirit, God can help us, guide us to make the right choice. So I think it's such a instrumental and strategical part of our training. Before we end, are there any specific things you would like to add to this episode?
Yeah, so the conscience is a human element that exists in every person. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's a spiritual person who comes and lives inside of us when we accept Christ into our lives. The Holy Spirit sometimes uses the conscience, but these are two different things. Sometimes I'll say to a child, I saw that you went over there and you picked up that trash on your own without being asked. Was that the conscience prompting, or was that the Holy Spirit telling you to do that? And child says, I don't know. And you know, frankly, sometimes I don't know either, whether it's my conscience reminding me to get gas, or it's the Holy Spirit in his grace reminding me, oh yeah, I forgot about that. I need to get gas. I don't know. But I do know this, that spiritual training in the lives of children and the conscience development are strategic because they produce moral and spiritual development in the lives of children. Those are inside of the heart. They provide internal motivation, and they give children the maximum benefit as they get older to have what they need to be responsible, mature, godly disciples of Christ. So powerful stuff we're learning here.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your wisdom and your guidance and your advice and all the strategic and also practical tips that you are giving us, Dr. Scott. I want to mention that we will soon be starting another series based on something new and exciting. So we will be sharing that next time. And before that, please do feel free to browse our almost 100 episodes. They're all available on the podcast platforms that you are listening on. And until next time, we pray that God will bless you in your parenting, and take care.